So, you think you know how to give a treatment. Oh, that's humorous. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with Instant Illumination!
Bravo!
So you think you know how to give
a treatment.
My goodness sakes. We have a neighbor who is distressed with life, and we get distressed with him. We look at him and we say, what's the matter? Can't you keep your chickens in your yard? Because his chicken flew out of his yard, and then Rex ran after his chicken and brought it to me. But by the time he got it to me, the chicken had been held too long, because he ran 3 miles or 2 miles around the property, almost 3 miles, around the property back to the house here. And by the time I caught up, he'd had the chicken in his mouth for a good, three quarters of an hour, maybe half or three quarters of an hour. And so Ellen took the chicken away, right?
Hi.
Ingeborg took the chicken away, and Ingeborg said, Rex, please give me the chicken. And Rex says, Ingeborg, you're my love. For you, I'd do anything. And so he put the chicken in her hands. And Ingeborg picked up the chicken and said, my goodness, you have had a rough time. And she put the chicken in a box in our garage and put a bowl of water in there for it and food in there for it. And the chicken was just laying there sort of, that was a wild ride. Never been to Disneyland, but that must be what Disneyland is like. And so we were worried about the chicken. We didn't know where it came from or what it was doing, but it was just a big old Rhode Island Red. We spoke about it the other day. And it's a nice chicken. So he brought it home, and then we tended it with love. And I said, the only thing we should do is take the chicken and whomp it against a log to break its neck and then let it be dead, Or one of you can cut its throat or something like that, whatever you want to do. Let's kill it, because it's badly injured. Let's kill it. And then all of a sudden, instead of worrying about the chicken not being well and dying, well, let's take care of it. Let's have good thoughts about it. And so all of you, all of a sudden, started to have good thoughts about the chicken, especially Ellen. Ellen said, no, we don't want to kill the chicken. We don't. And, well, that's not the point. The point is, you were thinking the chicken was sad and in a dilemma and in a problem, and the chicken needed help. The chicken needed a treatment. And we didn't even know how to give the chicken the treatment. Do you know how to give a chicken a treatment? Yeah. Mm-hmm. How many chickens have you given a treatment to? It's the same way with people, dogs, chickens, or anything else in the world, or world conditions, or personal conditions. It's all the same. Treatment works exactly the same. Now, Chrissy and Sybil get to me sometimes. I'm having a conversation with them, and I'm saying different things about, now, how will we work on this? All's in divine order. How will we work on that? All's in divine order. They just keep throwing back in my face what I taught them, told them, all is in divine order. Well, I want to know what they're going to do about it, how they're going to react, how they're going to work. And they said, all's in divine order. Well, now, that is the dumbest thing you could ever say, is all is in divine order. All is in divine order. That's not facing the facts. That's not getting in there and learning the details and learning what can be done. So what did Ellen do? We called our neighbor, and we called Art and his wife Julie, and they said, Jessamine, we'll be right there to look at that chicken. And this was late in the evening, about 9 o'clock. And so they come trucking over here in their beautiful car to look at the chicken. And she looks at the chicken, and she loves pets, animals, everything. She's a nurse, a public nurse, a people nurse, but that doesn't mean she doesn't know anything about animals. And she says, oh, I know just what I must do. I must put some antibiotic on it, and I must put the anesthesia, and I'm going to do this and that. I'm going to take the chicken home with me. Fine, take it. So she took the chicken home. And when she got home, she treated the chicken, did what a nurse does to a chicken, and she was delightfully surprised that the next morning the chicken almost was dead. Just surprised, delightfully. Well, yes. She says, oh, I forgot, it's cold out here. It was a cold night, it was almost freezing out, and here this poor chicken was trying to recuperate on this cold night on her front porch. So she gets a light bulb and sticks it in a socket and puts it inside the box, a beautiful red light so it wouldn't bother the chicken too much while it's sleeping, and keeps him warm and adds a little heat. And the next morning, the chicken woke up and talking up a storm. And naturally, it was better and better. And then she says, you know, I think I'll keep this chicken. I think I can have another pet like this now. I have parrots and turtles and dogs and cats and fish, and I think we'll just have this beautiful chicken. And the chicken cuddled up in her arms and snuggled in her arms and said, I like this lady. She understands me. Now, what did you and I do? Were we worried about that chicken? Were we thinking of killing it? Were we thinking of disposing of it? Were we thinking of that it wasn't going to get well? That it didn't have much of a chance at life? Or did we say, Chrissy, what did we say?
All imperfect. The chicken is all imperfect. And all is in divine order.
That's what we said. All is in divine order. Three strikes and you finally made it. Okay. Coming up with my answer. All is in divine order. Now, this is what we all said. We all released it to Art and Julie that all is in divine order. Now, did any of you think that Julie was going to harm the chicken? Did you, any of you think that Julie was going to have the chicken for breakfast?
No.
No. Did any of you think that Julie was irritated by having the chicken there?
No.
It's like having another baby.
Yes.
Now, what sort of attitude did you have when you released the chicken to Julie? All is in divine order. Now, you didn't necessarily say that, but that's what you thought. All is in divine order. All is in divine order. And you gave the chicken over to all is in divine order. Now, what you didn't realize you were doing was that you gave the chicken over to itself to be in divine order. The chicken knew how to heal itself. I mean, what the heck? The chicken's used to running the plains and running off in the woods and the meadows and the hills and the mountains and escaping all sorts of things that might damage it, and it knows how to repair itself. A dog goes under the back porch when it's injured and heals itself and licks the wound, and pretty soon it comes out whole and perfect, you know? Mm-hmm. How many dogs that crawl under the back porch and heal themselves die there?
No.
You don't hear of any of them. They just come out okay, because all is in divine order. That's what they say. Dogs have a mechanism. It's a wonderful mechanism. A dog, when it is injured and feels pain, after the first pain, it shuts off the pain. It has an innate capacity when the pain strikes it, and it knows it, and it does what the pain tells it. It's got something to take care of now. Yeah. And so, then the pain shuts off, and the dog can do what it has to do. It can drag itself under the porch and let its leg heal or whatever, you know. And we have that same capacity, but we've turned that capacity off. Now, the dog is in fact saying, Chrissy? That's right.
Order.
The dog is in fact saying, Chrissy.
All is in divine order.
We want to get it loud enough so our listeners can
all
hear it.
All is in divine order.
All is in divine order. Now, when Chrissy gave her graduation talk yesterday, when she received her master's degree, she spoke up loud and clear. She spoke up so all the world could hear. And she spoke up because she had nothing to fear, because she was with her peer. Now that's forced rhyming, but it's sort of blasé poetry. Now, what do we do? What do we do? We know the principle. Did you release the chicken? If I was going to fish, cat, chicken to Julie?
Yes.
Now, Sylvie goes like this with her hands out. Totally. Now, Did you mean lovingly, wonderfully?
Yes.
Realizing the chicken is in
divine order.
Good hands with Allstate. The chicken is in divine order. The chicken is in good hands. The chicken is well taken care of. The chicken is okay. Now, when we give a treatment, if we can train ourselves to have that same blasé, that same simplistic attitude, all is in divine order. All is in divine order. Ingeborg, you're so beautiful, you're so wonderful, you're so thoughtful, you're so caring. All is in divine order. My goodness, I hope you live a million zillion years so that you can keep sharing that wonderful quality of all that's in divine order, because you're fantastic.
All is in divine order.
All is in divine order. Give me what I give out. Mm-hmm. That's right.
Yes.
All is in divine order. That's right. Are you in divine order?
Yes, I am.
Now, here we have this chicken that Rex brings up to the house. And the chicken's in Rex's mouth. And you take the chicken out of his mouth and you all look out. Oh dear, oh dear, oh dear. What a bunch of creeps. My goodness sake. Didn't you ever go to school at the School of the Master? Didn't you ever go to the University of Healing and learn the fundamental of healing? That starts out in the first course. In the first course, all is in divine order. Who is the creator of everything on the face of the earth?
I.
You can say you, but say God. Because this is the first course.
Okay.
This is before you've learned how that you too are God. But you say, God. Okay. Did God create that chicken?
Yes.
Then God can heal that chicken, right?
Right, yes.
Does God want that chicken to be less than its original purity and integrity?
No.
Then say, God, all is in divine order. Now, you want to give the job to God, or do you want to have the job yourself? You give the job to God outside of yourself so that the healing takes place. Now, you see, that's what we're coming away from. We're coming from there. But first we have to realize that God is all and can do everything and is everything, and that there's nothing outside of God. And then we learn that God is all and that we are part of that all, and not we are not only part of that all, we are all of that all. We can't just say we're part of it, because how do you cut up all into little parts? It isn't done. So we are that all, and therefore we are God, and therefore when we see a chicken that needs some help, we go and do it. Now, laugh at me if you will, and I think you will, but think of this. The chicken got his head cut off. And so you took the chicken to the vet. The chicken got his head cut off. And the vet said, got his head? Yep. Got his neck and the body? Yep. Okay, we'll sew it back together. Now they sew the head back on the chicken. Do you think they can do that?
Yes.
You're kind of dubious.
No.
I'm saying the group here is kind of dubious. And why are you dubious? Because you always think that once your head's cut off, that's it. Well, that's not it. That's not it. They can cut your arms off and they can sew them back. They can cut your fingers off and sew them back. Your legs off. They can cut your organs off. They can replace you with whole sorts of stuff. And you, when you're having a troubled time having your autonomic nervous system operate your body while you're having a serious operation, they put you on a life support device, which keeps your heart pumping and keeps your blood flowing and keeps the things going and keeps you in a living being as long as you decide to stay home. But if you decide to move and step out of your body, which is your privilege, your body still keeps working because they have these helpful devices going there. But then when they shut the device off, you moved out, you know. You're not home. Well, now, is your body still functioning? Sure. So what is it that moves out? What is it that moves out when you die? It's your consciousness. It's your essence, your divinity. All is in divine order. You're the divine order. Now, so, I'm not recommending you do this, but if you have your head cut off, the day will be with us very shortly where they can sew it back on again, or they would fuse it back on with a laser, all back together. This man fell out of an airplane, and every part of his body was crashed up, you know, everything. Lymph nodes, everything. I mean, this guy was really a messed up mess. And nobody in their right mind should have paid any attention to him. But someone said, what?
All is in divine order.
All is in divine order. And then a team of surgeons in the Army hospital went into this guy and put him together. They took him apart first, took all the pieces, head bone connected to the neck bone, all the lovely story that we heard about that, and they rejoined everything. And they took the lymph systems, and they took the ligaments and the nerves, and they took everything and rejoined it. They took all the blood vessels, because they were all scrunchy-dunched, you know. And he was a real big mess. It was sort of not a test case, but it was sort of a work in progress thing for the surgeons. And they had a ball. It's like a crossword, what do you call these little puzzles you put pieces into place? Jigsaw puzzle, right? It was like a jigsaw puzzle. And they were putting this piece and that piece and this piece to that piece and that piece to that piece. And then, this doesn't work, so we have to put a piece of plastic in there to fill it up. And we have to do this. And they do it. And he walked. He ran. He became an Olympic star again. Not a handicapped Olympic star, but a totally healed Olympic star. Now, he wasn't the top Olympic winner, but he was on the Olympic team, and that is something. You got to be good to get there. And he was there. Now, here's what he said. He crashed out of this airplane, the parachute didn't open. It was in the Reader's Digest, the article. Quite interesting. And he hit the ground, and crunch, crunch, and then they came and picked him up. And he was conscious. And they said to him, "You're conscious, my God, you know, oh my goodness sake." And so they scraped him up onto the stretcher and took him to the hospital. Now, isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? I had a 72-year-old man when I was writing a newspaper in Atwater, California. And it was the middle of the night, and he was driving along, and he hit a telephone pole. And the pole went right through the middle of his belly. And everything spread apart and went right through him into the back seat of the car. Well, the policeman and the fireman came and found this guy. And they called me because I was the newspaper. And so I went, took pictures, who needs it? but I took pictures and we put them in our paper. But I wrote the story. And I stayed with the story. This guy was amazing. He remained conscious all the time. And the fireman sawed the piece off, and they left it in him. But they sawed it off. Well, they had to. And then they took him to the hospital and let the doctors remove it. And as the doctors removed it, they just shoved the things back into place and slid it out. Cool. And boy, you better not be a nurse, I tell you. they slid it out, and he was perfect and fantastic. And he lived to his 80s. Can you imagine it?
Yes.
He lived to his 80s. Now, I followed him, and he's an amazing guy. Now, you see, these things, all is in divine order. That's what this man was saying to himself. I didn't realize the importance of it at the time, but that's what he was saying. He said, I'm okay. I'm okay. He didn't use all ends in divine order, but that's what he meant. I'm okay. And he says, God's got a plan for me, or else I'd be dead. And I said to him, well, it must be a pretty wonderful plan. And he wanted me to stay with him as he went to the hospital, and so I did, and that was a great experience for me. Watching him be, at all times being conscious while they were doing it. Because there's no sense putting him out. It's already there. And they just gently eased the things aside. The stretch had been there, which caused all of the nerves to be anesthetized because the pressure had caused them not to be what do they call it? Not to be sensitive. And so then afterwards, then they massaged it back into place, and they sewed him up, and they fixed him up, and cleaned him up, and amazing man.
Made him amazing. More beautiful than before.
What's that?
And made him more beautiful than before.
Well, I didn't know what he looked like before. But he was just amazing and great, and a fantastic man. And he was nobody special. He was just a man. He had no great credentials that said, I'm Mr. Big, or I'm Mr. Wonderful, or I'm Mr. Important. He was just an ordinary, wonderful guy. And his family, of course, were amazed and thrilled. They were afraid at first that they would have an invalid on their hands, you know. And he said to him, as I would make visits with him and his family there to the hospital, he said to his family, now, I know what's on your mind. You're afraid I'm going to be an invalid and that you're going to have to take care of me. He said, don't worry about that at all. I'm going to be absolutely fine. I am already, you know. He said, you just watch and see. And you see, with the negativity of the family saying, well, I hope he dies, then we can get his estate, you know. I hope he dies so we don't have to take care of him. I hope he dies so we don't have to have hospital bills and stuff like that to worry about. That's what people say, you know. And you say, oh, no, I would never say that. We would. You do, too. You do it all the time. You do it all the time. When you have kids or anything else and they have hospital bills and they get big, oh, my God, how are we going to handle this? Instead of saying, all is in divine order. Whatever is necessary, we will have the wherewithal to handle it. That's my kid. That's my husband, my wife, my family. That's me. And I'm worth it. We're worth it. Not worth it is that the point about it is that there's anything you do to bless your life with wholeness and perfection is wonderful. But it has to start with saying,
all is in divine order.
And when you say, all is in divine order, you are putting a
cause
in motion that works. That works, works, works. And this is the wonderful thing about that. It works. It's a principle that works. Now, it's true, it's frustrating when Christy and Sibyl say to me, all's in divine order, all's in divine order. You know, as they did a bunch of times at the table already today. All is in divine order. I want a conversation. I want to talk about something, you know. And you tell me all is in divine order. Well, what's there a conversation about that, you know? And that's tough, you know. Well, maybe you're right. Maybe, just maybe, you're right. Just maybe you, by saying all is in divine order, are working on a much higher level than anybody else. Now, when I brought the chicken here, or Rex brought the chicken here, if your first thought was all is in divine order and just let it be, it would have been so. But because your thought was, oh dear, the chicken needs help, the chicken needs our love, and if Ingeborg's first thought was, I've got to get that chicken away from that dog. Well, the dog loved the chicken. It was carrying the chicken. It never once chomped down at the retriever. It's a carrier. He wasn't interested in killing the chicken. He was only interested in retrieving it and carrying it, which was his nature. And if we expected him to damage the chicken, then surely he would. Now, did Julie find the chicken damaged?
No.
No. She found with a little bit of ointment, a little bit of love, the surface scratches will heal themselves and all in back order. Now, is the chicken standing on its own legs?
Yes.
Is it lifting its wings? Yes.
Yes.
Is it barking? Is it eating abundantly?
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah. And is it messing abundantly?
Yes.
Oh, yes. Julie's going to have her hands full then.
Yes.
But the thing is, Julie knows about creatures that are ill, and she knows there's a time of recuperation. But now, Julie also knows that she did one thing that you dastn't do if you're going to be a medical practitioner. In a medical practitioner work, you are working with many other people, many other consciousness. And many consciousness say, it won't work, they won't last the night, they won't do, you know, you've heard all that stuff. They will die, they will live with an illness or with terrible pain or whatever. But the practitioner, the ideal practitioner, doesn't say those things. The ideal practitioner looks at any experience and says, all is in divine order. You don't lift up the dress to look at the wound and say, ah, you know. Now, Julie has trained herself to play the game in two levels, to pick up the feathers and see that it needed a little bit of washing off, and then laying it back down again, and blessing it, letting it sleep overnight, not worrying about it. Not think, oh, well, I have a dead rooster on my, hen, I think it was. It's a female, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Now, well, I have a dead hen on my hands in the morning, you know, I have a dead hen. And that hen's been around a while. That hen's got muscles. That hen has been a loved pet. Whoever owned it, they held it in their arms and they cuddled it and they played with it and their family played with it. It was a treasure to them. And so whoever had it, that's what it was. But the thing is, now that's why Julie immediately picked it up in her arms, cuddled it like a little kitten, just like a little baby, and the rooster is going to come out just fine. Oh, well, one day the rooster may go back home to wherever it came from. And we don't know for sure where it came from, but we have an idea. But one day it may do that, but the day it does will be the day that outwardly it's what Julie sees it inwardly. Julie sees it whole and perfect. You see it whole and perfect. I see it. We all see it whole and perfect. It is what? All in divine order right now. Can you see that being a practitioner is quite a demand? Because you're going contrary to what humanity does. Humanity wants to worry first and do something helpful second. Oh dear! You know, then help. Instead of saying, all is in divine order, and then help. First you say, all is in divine order, and then, if you wish, do what you want. When your child is drowning in the river, all is in divine order, then dive in and get him. But all is in divine order. Before you get in your car, all is in divine order. I surround this car with my pure white light of love. All its ways are peace. All its paths are pleasantness. And the road is open before me. And you repeat that once, twice, three times. And then as you're driving along, you repeat it. And whenever cars seem to pile up in front of you, you say, the way is open before me. And the cars just float away out in front of you. You think to yourself, am I a magician or something? You know, this is wonderful, you know. And then instantly, what do you say? No. Instantly you say, I'm independently wealthy. When you're in the flow and the cars are on the go and you say, the way is open before me and all the cars clear and I'm independently wealthy. Get in there with all fine. Or I'm whole and perfect. Or whatever is a touching thing in your heart. But say it. All is in divine order. And then so it is. But isn't that wonderful? Doesn't that make the world go around just a little bit better for you and for the chicken and for, oh, by the way, you said the chicken was given a name and that name is Precious. Now, my good, I have a friend, Edith Mary Sanderson, now off on other dimensions, and Edith Mary was a food health school food service director in Los Angeles, and she's one of our students, and she's a roly-poly lady, and she never could lose weight. She always tried, but she had little poodles that she had. And so one day, she was in her office after a day of visiting all the schools in Los Angeles, and she heard a noise under her desk, and she wondered what it was. Well, what had happened was that a little Chihuahua type dog, a little runty mixture, got into the garbage dumpster outside of their office there and was scrounging around and of course couldn't get out again and was making all sorts of noise, and so the janitor heard the noise and he went out there and he reached in, pulled out this mangy, dirty, filthy, stinky little thing, you know. And he says, Edith Mary. So he put it in a box and put it under her desk. And Edith Mary came in after her tour, and she smelled the smell first. And then she reached down there, and she saw the dog, and she says, "Oh, no!" And so she immediately took it to the vet. She had given a bath, given shots, given all the goody-goody-goodies. It cost me about $65, and this was back in the 60s. And boy, oh boy, oh boy. I was in the 70s sometime. And so time flies. But so she gave all that to that little, and then she brought this little dog home, and I believe that's the one she called Shadow, wasn't it? I think so. And so she had a dog, a little poodle herself, Gala or something, and Shadow would follow the little poodle around everywhere. And then Edith Mary would take both of them with her to school and have them under her desk and things like that. But that little Chihuahua didn't deserve anything. It was in the worst of straits. It was in the dumpster, ready to be dumped and gone forever. And yet, it made the noise at the right moment that the janitor heard it. The janitor had enough compassion to reach in and grab him and put him in a box and put him under Edith Mary's desk, you know, put him under God's desk, you know. And so Edith Mary had the immediacy of taking it to the vet and having it taken care of in every possible way. And it became her pet, oh, I don't know, for a good 12 years or better. Long time. And she had that little Shadow and just really loved that dog. Now, we don't know. We don't know where All Is in Divine Order is going to take us. But we can be sure of one thing. If we stay to principle, the little Chihuahua, the little Shadow is going to live. Precious is going to find a new home for a while. Maybe get back to its old home again, who knows. Everybody's going to be independently wealthy, whole and perfect, enjoying everything that life has to give, and everybody's going to be happy as can be. Because I, God, created you that way. Now, how did you, as God, create your world? All in divine order? Then let it be. Let it be. There's a beautiful spiritual song called Let It Be. And the Mormon Tabernacle Choir sings it, and it's really very poignant, very powerful, and very meaningful. But let it be. Let it be. And let God and you take care of it all. Very nice. Thank you for letting me share with you today. I love you. I love you. I love you. I love you.